We don't do that as parents. We don't give them a gift or something that they want once every 10 years and say to them, well, hey, here you go. Make it a good one because you're not getting anything else for another 10 years. No, we give our kids everything that we can possibly give them within our means. But God doesn't have that limit of within our means. He's God, and He loves giving us gifts, just like we love giving our kids gifts. Welcome to The Onion Peel, a show where we get real, raw, and honest about life. It's a space where authenticity lives and hope resides. The Onion Peel is a place where we peel back the layers of our stories and discover the unexpected flavoring that each one brings. Hey guys, I'm your host and semi-crazy Christian, Angela McConnell. I'm a middle-aged mom of five with a dead husband, and I've been through some shit in my life. Now, I'm on a mission to bring hope to the world. So join me as we journey through this onion and find hope in the tears. You ready to peel this thing? Hi, guys. Welcome to The Onion Peel. Thanks for joining me today, as always. So, here's the deal. This is going to be the last episode for this season, season one. I believe this is episode 25. So, I just decided that with the holidays coming and I have a family member that's very sick. And so, you know what? I'm just going to take some time to be with her and enjoy the holidays. Just take a little break. So, yeah, and I figure I'll be back in January and we'll start a new season and some new topics and we'll go from there. So, today's going to be kind of a wrap up. I think I want to talk about how the house came full circle and discuss what full restoration looks like in a very particular area and to see that God does do miracles. I've talked about restoration before and touched on it fairly well in the previous episode, but I want to use the explanation and the story of getting our house back as a very specific illustration. Something practical and tangible so that you can touch and see what restoration looks like in God's economy. And then also, it just brings closure to the whole house situation that I have been talking about this entire season. So, I guess let's get started. But first, real quick, let's take a commercial break. What if it was possible to get fresh groceries delivered right to your front door? Think of all the time that you'd have. Well, Instacart gives you unlimited grocery delivery for one low monthly fee. Way better than the other guys that nickel and dime you every time you use their app. And if you forget one ingredient while you're making dinner, Instacart can deliver that ingredient to your front door in as little as 1 hour. Every item is hand-selected to your personal preference, so if you want extra ripe bananas, then that's what they'll shop for. There are also multiple stores that you can shop from, all in the same trip if needed. To start your free 14-day trial, follow the link in my show notes to let Instacart know that I sent you and also to help support the show. With Instacart, you'll never have to step foot in a grocery store again. And I'm back. Okay, so when it was all said and done, we were able to stay in our home for 3 years, mortgage-free after Don died. Can you believe that? 3 years. And I never thought that that would be the case. I was told that I would have maybe a week after Don died and we'd have to be out. And I've mentioned several times that we had a really awesome person at the bank that we were dealing with who just had a heart for us. Quite honestly, because God had specifically placed us on his heart. And that was a huge reason why we got to stay as long as we got to stay. This particular person was wonderful in helping us navigate through the bureaucratic and really non-compromising banking industry. So here's how it would go. Oftentimes, and I've said this before, would get these eviction letters in the mail that would demand me to show up in court within a few days. And if I didn't, they would send the police to remove me from the premises. And every time I got one of those, I would just panic and my heart would sink, wanted to throw up. It was just a horrible feeling. And as I've said to you, I hated going out to the mailbox because I was just so terrified of what would be in there. Now, when I would get these eviction letters, I would immediately call our contact at the bank and he would say, "Don't worry about it. Just disregard it. I will take care of it for you." And then he would go and call the legal department for the bank, who would then get a hold of the realty department for the bank. And the eviction notices would be halted. And I would say this scenario probably played out at least 5 to 6 times a year for 3 years. Now, in addition to getting these eviction letters, I would quite often have people tromping around the outside of my house. Because the house was obviously on some sort of foreclosed home list. So people just would walk around thinking that the house is being foreclosed on, or I don't know how they could have thought it was vacant. We always had cars outside, but they just walk around. And I'd look outside and I'd be like, who the hell is walking on my property? A couple times I had people knock on the door and I just would either not answer, or I would just say, you know, it's not foreclosed on, because this whole time we were trying to actually get the house back. But usually they would just do a lap or two on the outside, inspect a few things, and then they'd be on their way. But it was very invasive and sometimes made me feel ashamed, and I hated it. So during this whole time, from the very beginning, I prayed for a couple things. The first thing was always thankfulness. Now, I had said before that I had always prayed in gratitude for the home that God had given me, even before Don died. But then after he died, even though it was already taken away from me in the legal sense, I wanted God to know that I was so thankful for what he had given us for all those years before Don died, and then for the fact that he still allowed us to remain in the home, because it was really helpful in our healing, right? Because it's our comfort zone. It's our home. When I cried, I got to go cry in my bedroom. When the kids were upset, they got to be in their bedrooms where they felt safe. And so I constantly was thanking God for all of it. The second thing that I prayed for was help in being able to leave my house when it was time to leave. I knew that for the kids and I to be able to mentally and emotionally walk away from our home was going to have to take some major courage, which I knew we didn't have, and we were going to need help from God if we were going to be able to do it without completely falling apart. Because Don was in that home. I mean, that's where he was. That's our family. That's where the kids grew up. Not to mention the fact that Don built so much of our house. So not only walking away from our home, it was going to feel like we were walking away from Don. And so I consistently asked God to help give all of us the strength for when the time came, whatever the circumstance was going to be, but when we actually had to walk away and leave, that we were going to be able to have the courage to do it. The third thing I prayed for was full restoration. And that prayer, when I prayed for that, that was bold. That was aggressive. To be honest with you, that was in his face. Because I understand how faith works. And here's what I'm going to tell you guys. And I want you to listen very closely to this. God responds to faith, not necessarily need or pain. And I know that might seem counterintuitive in a sense, because I'm not saying it's not that he doesn't care. Of course he cares if you're hurting. Of course he will provide. But what he really responds the most ardently to is faith. You guys, he went to the cross and died for us to be able to not only give us eternity with him in a place of splendor, but for us to have that splendor here on earth, for us to have victory, favor, blessing, wonderment, beauty, and restoration here on earth. Remember, it says, on earth as it is in heaven. So when we go to him with these, I call them poverty prayers, it's almost like an insult. He wants you to claim what he died to give you. He wants you to come to him with the big ask because he's a big God. He wants to give us the world, you guys. He truly does. But when we walk around with these little small requests, we're not giving him the credit and the thankfulness and the admiration that he deserves. We are not truly honoring and appreciating the gift that he sacrificed to give us. And so when I decided to pray for restoration of my home, I was like, you know what? Go big or go home. I wanted to be restored. And I knew that restoration, full restoration, was available. And when it came to my home, I loved my home. I'm a nester. Most women are nesters for the most part, but I'm a super nester. My home was my safe place, the escape from the world. It's always been that way. Even when I was a kid, my bedroom was the holy grail of my life because it was my space for security. And that translated into my home as an adult. So if I was going to have to leave this secure place, this place that I loved, that was decorated exactly how I liked it, that brought me such joy, that fed my soul, that I would constantly walk around and just be enveloped by the beauty that I thought my house held. You know, some people like to put their money into cars, trips, clothes, whatever, fine, golfing, whatever it is you want to do. For me, mine went into my home because that's what fed me. That's what filled my soul. That's where I enjoyed spending my time and my money. And God knew that. And so I would say to God, here's the deal. I want to feel this same way in my next home. I am willing to go to wherever Just please let us be in a safe neighborhood. Please let it be cute and cozy. I don't really care. I just need to have it feed my soul. I need to walk into it and just go, oh my gosh, I love it. And that was a lot to ask, considering I didn't have any money to even really buy a house at this point. And believe me, I demanded that. And I would pull out certain scriptures out of the Bible, and I would say to him, here's the deal. I didn't make the promise of restoration. You did. So if you don't follow through on your promise of restoration, full restoration, the kind of restoration you died so I could have, well then, I guess that would make you a fraud. And so if I had to leave this stunning home of mine, then I damn straight am going to ask to be put back into a stunning home. Didn't have to be on the lake, didn't have to be any of that stuff. Didn't even have to be tomorrow, because restoration, like healing or growth, takes time. The point is, I was bold in my requests. It wasn't a meek and humble prayer. Now, was I humble? Yes. I just had said that I consistently prayed in thankfulness to him for what he had given us. I asked him for his help in leaving because I know we couldn't do it on our own strength. But when it came to the actual replacement or the request for resolution to our situation, I'm going boldly. I'm going strong. I'm going big or going home. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Bible, but there's a scripture in there just to back up what I'm saying. Genesis 32:22-32 that talks about Jacob, and Jacob wrestles with this angel, which is basically that he's wrestling with God. Why is he doing that? Why is he choosing to, in essence, fight with God? Now, there's many lessons that are gleaned from this story of Jacob wrestling or contending with God. But the one I want to stress is that Jacob knew the promise that was given to him, and he knew he didn't deserve it. He knew he was a broken human, but he knew who God was. And he sure the hell wasn't letting God leave without getting his blessing. And he's like, sorry, you ain't leaving until you follow through on what you said you do. Because if you don't do that, then you ain't who you say you are. So, honestly, the onus is on you. And see, I just want to encourage you today to go be the Jacob. His faith was a violent one, and God loves it. You know how I know? Because God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and a whole nation of people carry his name. So for 3 years, that's how I prayed. Just like Jacob. I did not have money to buy a new home unless I was able to sell the current home. And in order for me to sell the current home, I was going to have to be able to buy it back. And in order to be able to buy it back with no money, someone else was going to have to come along and kind of be my investor. So there was a lot of things that needed to be put in place. It wasn't like I could go get a mortgage, you guys. Because my credit sucked now that I had a foreclosure and all these defaults on my credit report. So in reality, why wouldn't I go boldly to the throne with my requests? What the hell did I have to lose? And that's why I always say that when you're down your lowest, when you're out of options, it's so easy to have faith. Because what else you got? What else you got? So we continued to plug along one day at a time, and one day came, and the guy that we had been working with at the bank informed me that he was getting promoted and leaving. And I was like, that's it. It's over. Because he was our guardian angel, right? He was the one protecting us, and now there's going to be a new guy in his position. who's not going to give a crap about us, not like this guy did. But he said, I know the new guy coming in. I'm going to brief him on everything that's going on with you and where we've been the last 2 years. And I'm going to make sure he takes care of you guys. Which was awesome, right? And I wanted to believe that. I really wanted to believe that. But it was really hard to. Because in our minds, we, I think, sometimes feel like, well, God already gave me a blessing here. He's certainly not going to give me another one because I've sort of used up my blessings out of the blessing bank. So there's no way that I'm going to get another one, not after what he's already done for me. And that's just not how God works. Not even close to how God works. There's no limit on blessings. It doesn't work like that. We don't do that as parents. We don't give them a gift or something that they want once every 10 years and say to them, well, hey, here you go. Make it a good one because you're not getting anything else for another 10 years. No, we give our kids everything that we can possibly give them within our means. But God doesn't have that limit of within our means. He's God, and he loves giving us gifts, just like we love giving our kids gifts. So the new guy comes in, and guess what? He actually gave a crap about us, just like the first guy had. In fact, the second guy was able, within 6 months of when he got there, to work his magic and get it so we had the opportunity to buy the house back. And that was a miracle. For any of you that are in the banking industry, you know that that does not happen. Not after it's been foreclosed upon, sold at auction, and bought back by the bank. But somehow, we were able to have the opportunity to buy our home back for the amount that we defaulted our loan for. It's really unheard of. And so, as I mentioned earlier, I did not have the capability to put up any funds for that in any way whatsoever. But fortunately, I had a family member who could. And so they did, with a stipulation that stated, you got 18 months to figure out what you're doing to get it sold or whatever you want to do to pay me back. So there it was. Signed the paperwork. The house was technically not mine, but it was a family member's. And I could breathe for just a minute. Now, I knew we couldn't stay because I couldn't afford it, but I had my equity back. Now I had the means to go buy another home. So I decided to put the house up in January, which is the worst month to try and sell a lake home. I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try and do it first without a realtor, just so I can hopefully make back as much money as I could. I literally, on a spur of a moment, went around taking some pictures and thought, I'm just going to upload it onto one of the online home selling sites. I put it up about 10:30 at night, loaded the pictures, put the price on, and went, eh, we'll just see what happens, you know. The next morning, 8:30 a.m., get a phone call from a realtor. People want to come see my house. They're the people that bought my house. I sold my house within not even 12 hours. I couldn't believe the house sold that fast. And at the price I put it up for. And I started to wrap my mind around the fact of, holy moly, like I've got a lot of equity now that I'm going to have in my pocket to go buy a home. It was far beyond what my expectation was. I mean, so far beyond. I never thought that if I put it out there for the price I did, that somebody would jump on it that fast. Never. I was just sort of throwing up a test balloon and testing the waters. So all of a sudden, I'm like, well, shoot. I can probably go buy a brand new house with this amount of money. Whoa. And when I started looking at houses, I couldn't believe the houses that I could actually now look at. And I decided that, you know what? I'm buying a new house. And you want to know why? Because I don't want to worry about windows and roofs being replaced and caulking needing to be done for siding and, oh, you need a new furnace. I ain't got time for that. I got kids to raise and I'm a single parent and that's what I need to focus on. And so I bought a brand new home. It was right in the last 6 weeks of getting finished. So I got to pick out countertops and paint colors and what tile I wanted for my bathrooms and all that fun stuff for a brand new all brick with a finished walkout basement 5-bedroom home. And I'm not saying that to brag in any way or say, look at me. I'm sharing it to illustrate what God can and will do to restore you. So when it's all said and done, you guys, I walked away with a home that the kids and I adore. And we love it. We love our home. It's beautiful. I have all new fixtures and finishings. And my sub is wonderful. And the people and the neighbors that I have are amazing. And it feeds me. And it fills my soul. And I get to sit in its beauty every day. All the things that I boldly asked God for. We rose up from decimation and we were restored. I had nothing financially, nothing. I sold everything. And then God comes along because I went boldly to the throne and I said, this is what you say restoration looks like. And I want it. I wrestled him for it. And look, I didn't pull any punches. When I went to him with my request for restoration, I would literally pull out the dictionary and I would pull up the definition of the word restoration. And I would say, just in case you had forgotten what restoration means, please allow me to refresh your memory. Yeah, I was that sarcastic with them because that's just kind of me. And I would begin to recite the definition of restoration. And I quote, a return of something to a former, original, normal, or unimpaired condition. Restitution of something taken away or lost. A putting back into a former position. Boom. Mic drop. There it is. You talk about restoration, God. That's a putting back into a former position. That means I want my relationship with my child and my grandchildren restored. That means I want my job or career put back. That means I want my marriage renewed. That means I want my shattered heart rebuilt. That means my mind and body is rescued from the substance dependency that it has. That means my car that broke down is replaced. But the key to all of it is that you believe that the blessing has been promised to you and then have the courage to go before God and say so. The reason I'm sitting in this house, you guys, this beautiful, gorgeous house that I have, is because of my faith. It's because I went boldly and violently, even, to the face of God and said, look, you got to do this because you're the creator of the universe and I know that you have already provided this gift this blessing, this favor for me because you love me. So I'm here to claim it. Getting my new home is a tangible example of how God can restore. There were several miracles that had to line up in order for me to be where I am today. From not just having one guardian angel at the bank, but two. Then having a family member that was willing to help us. Then being able to sell my home at top-notch dollar within hours of putting it up, so that the timing of being able to find my current home could line up. It's quite unbelievable when you actually stop to think about all the things that had to line up perfectly. But if you really truly understand the character of who God is, really get him, it wasn't any kind of feat whatsoever for him. All I had to do was be thankful, ask for help and guidance, and then go to him with a bold faith. God came through mightily, but it's because I gave him mighty faith. So today, guys, I just want to encourage you that if there is something that you need renewal on, go to God and stand before him and boldly request what it is that you desire. Because there is nothing that he enjoys more than seeing his children come to him in their faith. So go be like Jacob and wrestle him down for your blessing. So, on that note, I'm going to wrap her up. Thank you so much, you guys, for being here in this first season of The Onion Peel, all 25 episodes. I cannot tell you how much you have all touched me personally and just really filled my heart up in so many ways. You'll still be able to find me on all my social media platforms. I might even write a blog or two over the holiday season. Please send me along to a friend. Like, share, follow. I would really appreciate if you would go on Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That just totally helps me to spread my message of hope. And other than that, guys, I guess it's time to put this onion back in the bin until we talk again. I hope you guys truly have the most amazing and wonderful holiday season. See you in January.